Bunk?
Rich. No, get fucked.
How was Christmas?
Christmas was quite a delight. I tried to break my own personal record for the amount of times that I could wank in a day. And boy, does my log look pretty fucking gnarly.
Oh, shit. Oh, do you know what? I would love to have KFC for Christmas dinner.
It was always my dream when I was living on my own in a flat of, because I never did have Christmas Day alone. I thought I would do, but I didn't. But I always toyed with the idea of like really, making a fancy ass lasagna.
Why can't you do that with people?
Well, I could make a fancy ass lasagna, but. But the fact that it was going to be like a Christmas treat for me, because lasagna is my favourite meal, or yep. Certainly used to be.
Yep.
I haven't had it in a long time. It's a lot of work, Rich.
I know, but...
To make a good lasagna good, yeah, truly good, is a lot of work and a lot of ingredients.
So if you really like it, though, Dunk, you shouldn't deny yourself it. You should do it, especially for, the Christmas that you just had when you're all by yourself. You should have made...
Oh, you know what I didn't have because I couldn't find them in the fucking supermarket? What supermarket doesn't sell these around Christmas? Ready-to-bake sausage rolls.
They didn't have any?
Like, look, no party sausage rolls in Aldi, mate.
Do you can make them, Dunk. They're better.
I ain't got time for that. Oh. I'm too busy wanking, mate. And crying into my pillow.
All right, Dunk. Are you ready for our non-Christmas? Hold on, Doug. Happy New Year? Should we say Happy New Year?
No, because 2024 is going to suck. We know this.
Oh.
Did we not talk about resolutions one of our podcasts one year?
We did, yeah. And we talked about how...
And we never reviewed it. We never looked back at what we were going to be doing.
No, Doug. I mean, it was probably about something... Yours was probably about not wanking too much.
Yeah, well, I failed that immediately. But we did achieve some things last year. We met up again in person. We did a podcast in person. We hit 100 episodes.
That's right.
And it took me until Christmas to get really angry. Really, really angry.
Don't worry, Dunk. Valentine's is coming up soon.
I can't wait.
You booking that vasectomy for Valentine's Day?
Doctor won't give me it, mate. Too young. He says, no can do. Anyway.
All right, today's topic is... The question is the play Macbeth actually cursed?
Yes, it is. That's it. End off. Podcast over. We're done. New year, new me. I ain't going to beat around the bush anymore. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
You don't believe it's cursed, Dunk. You don't believe it's cursed.
So the rumour is...
Yeah, go on.
You're not allowed to call it Macbeth.
You're not. It's called the Scottish play.
Now, where did the superstition originate?
Well, give me 30 seconds and I can tell you. Hold on. No. Don't talk for a second.
Okay, so rumour has it, okay, that speaking the name Macbeth inside a theatre, other than as called for in the script while rehearsing or performing, will cause disaster. So how do you reckon they allocate the role? You know, as a director, it must be an absolute nightmare. You got to go, oh, are you there? Yeah, you know the character that you're playing, right? Yeah, you. I need you to do it slightly different.
Okay,
Doug. I need you to give 110%.
Doug, I can tell you where it comes from. So, according to folklore, Dunk, the only lore that matters, because, fuck history, folklore's better, Macbeth was cursed from the beginning. A coven of witches objected to Shakespeare using real incantations, so they put a curse on the play. There's more, Dunk. But what are your thoughts on that, first of all?
These witches need to, you know, they're dying out. They're a dying species, so a coven of witches should surely be, you know, looking to maybe have some positive PR rather than cursing a bunch of thespians for a play which Shakespeare only wrote because he wanted money.
Ooh.
I said, all of these profound... whenever you get the fucking English literature questions, why did Shakespeare write this play? What message was he trying to convey? He was trying to write something that he could sell and make a lot of money off.
You are correct, Dunks. You are indeed.
There's nothing else about it. There's no profoundness. There's no, oh, he wanted to explore the geopolitical circumstances of England in the 1700s and therefore had this character say this line here. No, he wanted money. That is it. That is all Shakespeare was about. He was about money, and he was prepared to shit on covens of witches for it. And you know what? I'm all for it. The witches cursing the play, they should probably have gone further. They should probably have sacrificed Shakespeare himself and put his head upon the fucking stage. He could have been in Hamlet. It could have been his skull.
Continuing. Legend has it, the play's first performance around 1606 was riddled with disaster. The actor, playing Lady Macbeth, died suddenly, so Shakespeare himself had to take on the part. Other rumoured mishaps include real daggers...
He had to... Well, you, wait, hold up. You say that Shakespeare had to drag up in order to...
Yeah, he had to come on and perform as Lady Macbeth.
That's fucking hilarious.
Because the actor...
Do you reckon he had to shave?
Died.
Everyone always imagines Shakespeare with his beard.
Just his legs, mate. He just had to shave his legs. Other rumoured mishaps include real daggers being used in a place of stage props for the murder of King Duncan, resulting in the actor's death.
So now I think if Shakespeare had been around a couple of hundred years before when, slavery was still a thing then, but I reckon it would have probably killed slaves for the sake of entertainment.
Yeah, you're probably correct.
So yeah, real knives.
The play hasn't had much luck since the famous Astor Place riot in New York in 1849, caused by rivalry between American actor Edwin Forrest and English actor William Charles Macready, resulted in at least 20 deaths and over 100 injuries. Both Forrest and Macready were playing Macbeth in opposing productions at the time.
Yeah, apparently there was a riot and soldiers trying to keep the riot from spreading decided to shoot into the crowd, which if that does not scream America, I don't know what does. That's very Gangs of New York, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, we are up with this, we shall not put, and then immediately start fucking firing on each other and killing people. Good job, guys. Good job.
Other productions have been played with accidents, including actors falling off the stage, mysterious deaths, and even narrow misses by falling stage weights, as happened to Laurence Olivier at the Old Vic in 1937.
And health and safety was born. Not allowed to just have things held by a tiny little screw anymore because of Macbeth. Have you ever read Macbeth?
No, I've seen Macbeth at the Globe in London. So that I got
you saw it at the Globe Theatre?
Yeah, so that I could get the authentic experience, yeah.
That's incredible.
I know, it was good. I had to stand the whole time. You have to stand for like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
I did see Twelfth Night as well, where Stephen Fry was acting in it at the Globe. And I got to sit. I was I went for the more upper class this time and sat down.
I think I read Twelfth Night at around about the same time as Macbeth.
And I think I saw something else there. I'm sure I've been to the Globe 3 times. Definitely twice. I'm sure I've been 3 times though, but I can't remember what the other one I saw was.
Much Ado About Nothing?
I don't know. Not a clue. Right. Macbeth was also seen as unlucky by theatre companies, as it usually meant that the theatre was in financial trouble. Macbeth was a popular play that was guaranteed an income. So if it was suddenly announced, it could mean that the theatre was struggling. Equally, the high production cost of stage could also bankrupt a theatre. Hmm. So everyone goes, shit, we're running out of money. Put on Macbeth. People always come see that shit.
Yeah, I could, you know, it's a classic. It's a banger. Quick, let's put it on stage. It is a, yeah, of Shakespeare's works, it's probably one of the things that I actually can kind of vibe with. It's not overly wanky. Oh, kind of like Game of Thrones.
I've seen Hamlet as well, but Hamlet was different. I saw a modernised version of Hamlet with the same Sherlock Holmes... Sherlock Holmes? Same fucking Shakespeare script, but it was played by the fantastic actor who played Moriarty in the BBC Sherlock Holmes.
Adam Scott.
And it was damn fucking good, Dunk.
Adam Scott, who was also in Fleabag as the horny priest.
I love Adam Scott. He's a great actor.
And his portrayal in as Moriarty in Sherlock is arguably one of the best things I've seen.
Yes.
Because the way he's introduced is just incredible.
100%, mate. 100%.
Such a lovable bloke. Such a lovable bloke. Oh, shit. He's the baddest badass that Sherlock's ever going to encounter.
Oh, it was fucking brilliant. Fucking
borderline Joker-esque in his performance. Yeah. It was incredible.
Agreed, Dunk. Agreed. Breaking the curse. So how you can avoid catastrophe is if you utter the play that shall not be named, exit the theatre, spin around three times, spit, curse, and then knock on the theatre door to be allowed back in.
Yeah, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it, really?
But people have died, Dunk. People have died.
Yeah, a long time ago. When was the last time something really bad happened?
In 1948, Diana Wynard fell off the stage in Stratford. During a walk-in scene, she decided to do it with her eyes closed. Apparently, the night before, she had told a reporter that she...
That's her own fault. The curse that is her, that's entirely... If she's walking around with her eyes closed and falls off the stage, entirely her fucking fault.
She was being Mr. Billy Big Bollocks like you and saying, I don't believe in the curse of Macbeth. So she decided that she would walk, you know, with her eyes closed. And she ended up plunging 15 feet into the pit. When she walked off the stage in the sleepwalking scene, she was unhurt. But let's just say that was also someone very much... she was, you know, she was such a good actress. It was a sleepwalking scene. She closed her fucking eyes. You know, method, that's it.
Although, to be honest, I don't know if you've seen videos of sleepwalking online. A lot of them have their eyes open anyway. I think it was completely unnecessary. She didn't go method, and it's not the curse on the play, it's natural selection and her own stupidity.
I mean, maybe, Dunk, maybe. If it was cursed, why would it why would it still be cursed now? Like, would the witch's curse last that long, Dunk, if the witches are long gone?
No, because I don't think the witches have had concept of the play being on any longer than their lifetime. I would imagine it was an era where plays would come and go quite quickly and then just sort of fade into in obscurity. There's no way they would have thought, you know, several hundred years later we'd still be talking about Macbeth. Let alone putting it on. So I would say that whatever curse they did, if they did in fact put a curse on Macbeth, I don't think it would be have the staying power, if you will, to still be in existence.
Can I tell you one of my favourite conspiracies, Dunk?
Go on.
One of my favourite conspiracy theories is that Shakespeare wrote the Bible.
Yeah, it's just wrong. Bible was written in a language that Shakespeare doesn't even speak.
There is,
if he did speak, he certainly wouldn't be able to write an entire volume of the Bible in his lifetime.
Hold on. I will find the thing about it. Do you think he actually died on his birthday, Dunk?
No.
You don't?
Well, that, no, well, I think he died on the day where he died, but I don't think his birthday was properly registered. So therefore, his birthday as such is not the day that he died. I didn't have such things as like registries and birth certificates and that sort of thing. So your date of birth was very ambiguous, if you will. So the notion that Shakespeare would die on his birthday, I think, is probably a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor. Misdemeanor? Misdemeanor? I don't know.
Jacobean conspiracy theories point to cryptic clues that Shakespeare was involved in writing the King James Bible. Shakespeare scholars reckon the poet and playwright to be about 46 during the latter stages of the translation. So basically, they think that King James, version of the Bible, Shakespeare was in there. And it's something like a certain line, they believe there's hints that he put, maybe his name.
Yeah, he just put Billy everywhere. What a load of twaddle.
You know, wasn't Shakespeare a big deal in his time, though, Dunk? Wasn't he a big writer?
No, wasn't he very much like Van Gogh? He wasn't really appreciated until he'd been dead for fucking ages.
I don't think so. I think he was a bit of a big cheese.
I mean, the biggest cheese of that era was Byron, wasn't it?
I don't fucking know, Dunk. All I know is that Shakespeare's fucking forced down my throat ever since I was born.
Yeah. Oh no, Byron was a lot later. Mary Shelley, Byron, Laudanum. It was about 100 years or so afterwards. 150 years afterwards. But I don't know. I think it's one of those things. It's a great example of what people were capable of writing. And do you ever think people are going to look back at like Harry Potter or The Lord of the Rings or The Chronicles of Narnia in the same way?
I would have said yes, but we're so saturated with too much material that no, I don't think it will now because there's just too much material.
You don't think people are going to retrospectively look back on it?
No.
They're not going to be similar to vinyl. Vinyl's had a comeback. I think books are due a comeback of their own, I think. Literature is...
Books are still sexy. There's plenty of people that still love books. I love books. Books are still sexy, dude.
No, I think they're going to become more sexy. I think gaming and stuff, now that the games industry is so massive...
It is.
...and overly saturated, I think people are beginning to move away from... like conventional AAA titles and all that other sort of stuff. And they're starting to find comfort in, like, with vinyl. The digital world is great and all that, but there's no substitute for it. There's no substitute for actually sitting on a beach with a book, reading, and letting your mind create all of the necessary tapestry of a story.
It's a really good way to deal with anxiety, though it's hard when you're anxious to read. Because it's a bit like mindfulness, like meditation. That's what reading is like when you're anxious, because it's forcing yourself to kind of come out of the anxious state and to read something and create something. So your mind has to work hard on something else. And
I actually find it very exhausting, reading.
Do you?
Because the level, if it's a really good book, the level of focus... to actually read a book, and because you generally I'll read like full chapters, unless the chapters are really long, then you have to stop at a certain point.
Yeah,
so you end up reading like full chapters, and if you get to the end of that chapter and you're not tired, and then you start another one, and you're 10 minutes in and you're like, oh, okay, I've got to finish it now.
Yeah,
at that point, my eyes are hurting, my brain's hurting, I'm enjoying it, and maybe I don't want to put the book down, but. Almost certainly, the second that I put a book down, I'm asleep.
Mm. Very interesting.
But I don't read often enough. I did buy some books recently, and they weren't Shakespeare, and they weren't Macbeth, and the curse of the Macbeth play is not true.
20 minutes!
I think